Under new management, how leading organizations are upending business as usual. Craig, I'm holding this bright red book in my hand. And on the cover also, there's a shift key from a computer keyboard. So there's a little bit of insight into that. Obviously, there's a shift going on, and computers play a big part in that, the technology that has overtaken the use in the business world. And to help us sort through some of this is the author, David Berkus. Good morning, David. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Funny you mentioned the shift key. We debated actually doing something like with an iPhone, but we settled on the old school shift key.
Well, sure, because in a sense, I think you're sort of talking to some old school people with this book, and you have an uphill battle with your thoughts and hopes and dreams of what you want business to look like. Talk about some of the challenges that you're facing or what things you put out there.
Yeah, well, they're not necessarily my hopes or dreams. I'm just trying to point out that these things are already happening. You know, the future of the workplace is already here. It's just not evenly dispersed. And my goal with the book is to point to those companies that are attracting and retaining top talent by doing things a little bit differently. And I think they represent a shift that we're all going to have to make eventually. It's just a question of when we decide to start changing.
Well, so one of the first things that I saw, in fact, one of the things I was reading is on this news release that had my co-worker Craig here perk up is when it said banning email. That's kind of high priority. Tell me about why, what's the thought behind it, and is this really true?
Yeah, and that's the one I think probably gets the least resistance. You know, most people spend a good portion of their workday just deleting email, right, or responding really quickly and deleting it. And several companies, the biggest is actually a company called Atos out of France that is a technology services company. So you'd think they would be advocates for it, but they basically looked at their internal email communication and saw how it sort of polluted everybody's inbox and was standing in the way of real face-to-face communication. So they banned it. They said by 2014, we're going to become a zero email company. Now, they didn't hit 2014 goal. They're still working on it, but they've made huge progress in reducing the internal email goals and increases in collaboration and creativity from their people.
So it's still effective for external, but internal, it might not be the best way to go.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue it's probably not that effective for external either, but you've got to do what a customer wants.
But the problem is sometimes with technology is it falls on our lap, and then everybody thinks of the best way or how to use it, and not everybody's using it the same way. Many of us don't even know how to sort of filter emails that come in, so you got more than you need. Let's talk about some of the other things that may perk up some people's ears. You talk about sharing salaries. What exactly does that mean?
Yeah, so I mean, that means what it says, sharing salaries openly. You know, interesting note, yesterday was Equal Pay Day in the United States, and the day that we sort of point out this gender wage gap is still going on. And we find that in companies that share salaries openly, meaning everybody knows what everybody gets paid, or at least everybody knows the formula for calculating pay, we find dramatic reductions in gender wage gap and other forms of wage discrimination. You think it would be this big sort of uncomfortable thing where everybody would know that, but it turns out that little level of discomfort from knowing it, that only runs for a couple of weeks, and then it's offset by a dramatic increase in the feeling of fairness and collaboration that we get as a whole team, since everybody knows what everybody is getting paid and what everybody is contributing to the organization.
David, does it spur companies on to kind of balance the playing field?
Yeah, so that's the interesting thing, is it's sunlight's the best disinfectant, right? And I think a lot of times in a secrecy condition, most people want their workplace to be fair. The challenge is in secrecy, it's a whole lot easier to ignore the hard work of actually making those changes. In transparency, you have to. It's right there out in the open and obvious. So you have to fix it, or you get a lot of people who are dissatisfied. Most companies just end up saying, yeah, let's fix this. We didn't even know it was a problem until we made it transparent, and now we can see it, so let's fix it.
Under new management, how do you get management to buy into a lot of this? Many times businesses run on, that's the way we've always done it. How do you kind of battle that?
You know, and that's the real uphill battle that you mentioned earlier, is the inertia, the idea that we've always done it. But what thing I found most interesting is that you see huge productivity gains in a lot of these ideas, and you see that the companies that are implementing this are attracting really top talent people. So I think that part of it is I'm trying to state my case through psychology research on why these ideas are good. But the other part is, you know, in the next 20 to 30 years, they're going to have to make these changes, or they're going to lose out on their most talented people. So Yeah, the change is already coming. It's a question of whether you want to be ahead of the curve or behind the curve.
You have an introduction in this book detailing how sort of the Industrial Revolution had a similar kind of shift in that. How long did it take companies at the turn of the century to adopt new ways of thinking? I mean, we have anything to look back to the norm of what we're up against?
Yeah, and there's a reason I say that 20 or 30 years. A lot of it is sort of takes a generation, right? There's a generation that says this is the way we've always done it, and then an up-and-coming one that sees, okay, these changes are the way we're headed. So you get some inertia. You get some people from that older generation that see these are the changes that need to be made. But generally, I mean, we look at those Industrial Revolution changes that Frederick Taylor brought in. We are talking about a longer time scale, 20 years or so. I wish I was so optimistic to say this is all going to happen by 2020. But, you know, I have two little kids. They're 4 and they're 2. And my goal is to get these changes to happen by the time they hit the workplace. So we've got a little bit of a runway to go, but I still have a sense of urgency in making these changes.
David, one other item I see on your list is unlimited vacation. What does that mean?
It means what it says, unlimited vacation, meaning mostly most companies are going to this as doing away from the original vacation policy of, oh, you get 10 days or 15 days, and saying, you know what, we trust you to take as much vacation as you feel you need and also get your results done. We're not tracking when you come into work and when you leave work anymore. We're not tracking what you're doing when you're here. Why are we tracking the days you're not here? Let's just turn that over to you and trust you on the issue. And it turns out that there's a lot of research that supports when senior leaders engage in trusting their employees return it with trustworthy behavior. Now, there's always one or two people that'll take advantage of that trust, but we deal with those one or two people instead of making a rule that makes everyone feel not trusted.
Is that something you see a younger generation embracing more so?
You tend to see it, yes, embraced by that younger generation. But, I mean, I look at some big companies that have instituted it with lots of employees. Look at, you know, Netflix and the Virgin Group is currently experimenting with it. And so you see it across the board. I do think a lot of these ideas are probably more easily adapted from a younger workforce. But the reason for that isn't generational. I think it's just a limit in the amount of experience they've had, so they're more open to the change. Whereas people with 30, 40 years of this is how we've always done it might be a little more hesitant to make those changes.
We're talking this morning to David Berkus. He's written the book called Under New Management, How Leading Organizations Are Upending Business as Usual. Chapter 9 you have titled, Write the Organizational Chart in Pencil. Sometimes you like to get something done and not have to worry about it, but apparently everything is always there's a little bit of fluidity to everything, I guess.
Well, and that's the idea. You know, the organizational chart was invented actually to manage the railroad industry, which is the ultimate definition of a marketplace that doesn't change, right? Once you lay the track, it's pretty much there, so the line is pretty stable. Most of modern work today, even in the traditional org chart, we tend to work on projects that have a life cycle of about, you know, 12, 18, 24 months. And what we're finding is it's probably a better deal if we're writing the org chart, meaning reporting relationships, who's on what team, who's managed by who, based on those projects, instead of just this is the way the org chart has always been written, we've always had these five people who report to this one manager. That idea may not be as fluid and adaptable as we need in a modern workplace. So that's why I say don't eliminate the org chart, but let's write it in pencil. Let's be open to change. Let's design our organizations around the projects we're engaged in, knowing the cycle of those projects is 18, 24 months.
Where do you fall with job titles? One of our colleagues, we open up the email from another part of the company, and this person has 4 titles. What do we need here?
So I'm always skeptical of people who really value their title, right? I find that there's two different types of work people in the workplace. One that really cares about that title and climbing the ladder, and others that care about doing great work and you can call me whatever you want. I want more of the second and less of the first. Not to say titles aren't important to some people. I just think there is a benefit to be gained from focusing in on the people who just care about doing the work, not necessarily about what title they get for doing it.
Now, you've got this now in book form. I know you've probably been preaching a little bit of this in time. What kind of feedback or blowback do you get from something like this?
So a lot of times the chapters like email and the idea of open offices not really being worth the big switch to open offices, those are getting fairly good reactions, very readily adopted. No surprise, the salary transparency piece gets the most blowback. And I'm right there, too. When I started researching this book, I was really uncomfortable with the idea. But when I looked into the data and I looked into the examples of companies that have done it, there's a whole lot of reasons to do it, and not that many other than that discomfort not to do it.
Well, the fact that you have data, more data than anecdote, is obviously helpful in your cause, too, right?
Yeah, no, in God we trust. All others bring data.
Exactly. The book, Under New Management, How Leading Organizations Are Upending Business as Usual. Our guest today is David Berkus. If people want to find out more about this book or you, where's a good place to start?
So I'm fortunate and I have a very rare name. So David Berkus, BURKUS.com. From there, you can check out the book through links to Amazon. It's in Barnes & Noble. It's everywhere books are sold. And as you saw, it's got a pretty bright red cover, so you can't miss it.
You can't miss it. Right, exactly. David, thanks for your time this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I won't spend much my rest of my day deleting emails in honor of you and your book. Give me something to do today. Thank you.